Amen. Well, I enjoyed that. Thank you for the special. And I appreciate the ladies. They sounded great. The men sounded horrible, but the ladies did a wonderful job. And thank you so much for letting me come be a part of this place again. Of course, I always enjoy coming here. And thank you so much. And let me say to the pastors who have come, thank you once again for being a part of this place and coming to the conference. We would like to invite you to our national conference next year, March 12, 13, and 14. The title is Growing in Christ. Is that right, preacher? I think Growing in Christ. I'm not sure what it is right now. But you'll enjoy it. We've got some great things planned. And if you have any questions, you can visit any of our websites. You can visit the Dominic or the oldpastjournal.com, Owens Publications, or the church. And then, of course, the oldpastconference.com. There's information about the conference there as well. And so we'd encourage you, if you can, come out. If you have any questions, call the church. We'd love to have you. Bring your people. I'll tell you this, if you come, you bring your people. We're not, you know, we understand the importance of a pastor having some authority. And we'll tell your people more than once. If your pastor disagrees with us, he's right, we're wrong. We want you to feel safe. We're not going to break out some new doctrine you've never heard before. And we'll just preach the old time things. And so we'd love to have you to come and be a part of it. Now, if I can be of any help, please feel free to ask. If you get a chance, visit my table in the back, and I'd love to have you come back there. Take your Bibles now. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 21. Matthew chapter number 21. Matthew chapter 21. We're going to start reading in verse 18. Matthew chapter 21. And verse 18, and once you have found it, let's all stand as we read the Word of God. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 18. If you have it, give a good hearty amen. I think the Methodists just came. Was it Methodists? What you said? Methodists. I think they came back. If you have it, give a good hearty amen. Okay, the ladies came in, but we'll try to get the rest of you going here. The Bible says in verse 18, now in the morning as he returned into the city, he hungered. It looks like he's a Baptist. Can you give me a little bit more volume? I can't hear myself as much. It says, now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. I want you to notice a few phrases here. Verse 21, God says, verily I say unto you, notice this next phrase, if ye have what? Talk to me now, if ye have what? Faith. And he says, and what? Doubt not. Now, notice what verse 22 says. And what? All things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer believing, ye shall what? Receive. Interesting. God gives us a little formula right here to help us in our prayer life. Tonight, I'm not going to be what I would consider bombastic, but I want to help you. I believe I want to give you what will revolutionize your prayer life. I want to speak tonight on the subject, the importance of a peanut butter sandwich. The importance of a peanut butter sandwich. I love peanut butter. My wife, every once in a while, she goes, where's all the peanut butter gone? I don't know. The dog got it. When I'm hungry and she's not around, I go get a spoon, open up the peanut butter jar and get me, you know what I'm talking about, do the spiritual things. And so I don't know what this title has to do with the whole sermon, but I just wanted to put it in there. But I want to speak tonight on that subject, the importance of a peanut butter sandwich. Father, take these next few minutes. Let me help your people. We need your help. In a day that we live, people need to get some confidence in their prayer life to get some prayers answered. There's no doubt about that. Our churches struggle, but yet you're still God. You still answer prayer. And I pray tonight you would help me to help your people whatever we do, as Lord, as we listen, that we'd walk out of this place and, boy, I've been helped. That's my desire. So please help me and use me in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me tell you the story of this passage of Scripture as I get into the sermon. Jesus was with his disciples. They were coming into the city. And as they were walking into the city, they passed by this fig tree. On this fig tree, the fig tree had leaves. There was no figs on it. Probably was not the time of the year for the figs actually to be on the tree. But Jesus was passing by that tree. Now let me just say this. There is no mistake with God. There is no uh-oh with God. Everything that God does, he does on purpose. And God had passed by this tree with his disciples because he knew what he was about to do. As he passed by this tree, he stopped as if he wanted to get something off that tree. He stopped and looked and didn't see any figs on it. And then the scripture says that Jesus said to the tree, he says, "Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever." Well, they went on. The disciples heard that statement. They went on and ministered that day. Well, the next day, they came back the same way. It was no chance again. They were coming back the same way. And as they were passing by that tree, the disciples noticed that this tree had dried up. I mean, gone. One day, it was a tree with leaves on it, looked like a healthy tree. Jesus curses the tree. The next day, it's a stick, just sticking out of the ground. I mean, only good for kindling. The disciples looked at that. They remembered the statement, how Jesus had cursed this tree. They remembered how Jesus had looked at the tree and said, "Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever." And they were shocked that this tree had dried up so quick with the command of God. Well, Jesus took this opportunity to help teach his disciples a valuable tool on prayer. And Jesus looked at them as they marveled about this miracle. And Jesus said, he says, "Now, disciples," he says, "you don't understand." He says, "if you have faith and you don't doubt." He says the very same thing I've done. He says, better yet, he says, "if you have faith and you don't doubt." He said, "if there's a mountain over here that you need removed." He said, "if you'd say that mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea." He said, "that mountain would be gone if you have the faith that I can do that." He says, "that's what it takes." He says, "it takes faith and no doubt. You gotta remove that doubt, act upon the faith in order to get the prayer answered." And God says, you've got to learn that if you're going to get that mountain removed, you've got to have the faith that I can remove it. God says, he said, "that's all that happened here." He said, "I looked at the tree. I cursed the tree. I had the faith that it would happen. And the next day it happened." Why? Because Jesus had the faith for this thing to happen. Now, I want you to notice some of the elements that God said for this to happen. He said, first of all, if ye have, talk to me now, if you have what? Talk to me now, if you have what? Faith. That's interesting. Why did God say, if ye have faith? Now, I'll tell you why. Because God knew that every Christian has some faith. Get this now. You see, to get saved, it takes what? It takes faith. So if it takes faith to get saved, that means tonight, how many of you are saved tonight? Raise your hand. That means every one of you who just raised your hand, you have some amount of faith inside of you. Notice God did not say how much faith that you have to have. God just says, if ye have faith. Do you have faith, preacher? Yeah. Hey, do you have faith over here? Don't look like it. But anyway, no, you have faith. Now we all have faith. Everybody has faith. He says, if ye have faith. You see, God didn't say you had to have the faith of a Pastor Breedlove. God didn't say you had to have the faith of a Brother Owens. God didn't say you had to have the faith of a Brother Domley. God just said, if ye have faith. I'm glad God said that, because God simply is teaching us, hey, if first of all you've got to do, you got to have some faith. You see, it just takes some amount of faith. God didn't say how much. For illustration, several years ago, I was preaching overseas. My father-in-law was with me. We were preaching on a Sunday morning. I preached, and as I was preaching in this church, we had a
it was a Spanish-speaking country, and we had an interrupter up there interrupting us as I was preaching, and I'm sorry, an interpreter, and he was interpreting for us. And I preached that morning. There happened to be that morning while I was preaching, a young man who showed up for the first time in the church that day. He was an English-speaking young man. Well, we just happened to be there. He heard there was going to be some Americans that were going to be there, and he came to the church service just to hear English being spoken in the service. Well, he came and heard me preach. When the invitation time came, my father-in-law went back to that young man, tried to lead him to Christ. And the young man told my father-in-law, he said, I'm an atheist. He said, I don't believe in that stuff. Well, after the services were over that day, I went back, shook the young man's hand, and said, how about coming back tonight? He said, I'll come back tonight. He came back that night. Well, the next morning, we were going to go up to the mountains, and we were going to have an activity with the youth. I was going to preach. My father-in-law was going to preach. And then after that, we're going to have a time of the guys are going to play basketball, and the girls are going to play some volleyball. And so I said, won't you come? I said to the young man, I said, won't you come out tomorrow? I said, we'd love to have you come, be a part of this thing on tomorrow. He said, I'll think about it. Well, the next day he showed up. We got on the buses. We went up into the mountains that morning. I preached. My father-in-law preached. Well, when it was all done, the teenagers were out playing. They were in the gymnasium there playing some basketball. I saw that young man standing over by himself. I went over to the young man, and I began to talk to him. And then I said to him, I said, young man, let me ask you something. I said, if you died today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? He looked at me. He said, I don't believe in that stuff. He says, I don't believe in God. I said, that's a lie. He says, what do you mean it's a lie? I said, you believe in God. He says, no, I don't. I said, yes, you do. I said, are you human? He says, yes, I am. I said, the fool. I said, there is no God. I said, I don't think you're a fool, are you? He says, no, I'm not a fool. I said, do you believe in God? He said, yes, I believe in God. I said to him, let me ask you a question. I began to talk to him. I said, if you died today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? He said, I don't believe in heaven. I said, let me ask you again. I said, if you died today, would you like to go to heaven? I said, if there was a heaven, and if there is a God, and if God can get you there, I said, would you let me show you how you can get there? He said, if there's a God, and if there's a heaven, and you can show me how to get there, he says, then yes, I'd like to get there. I opened my Bible up. I went through the plan of salvation. I showed that young man how to get saved, and I got down to the very end of that point of the presentation, and I said to the young man, I said, young man, all you've got to do is simply pray and receive Christ as your personal Savior. He looked back at me, and he said, I just don't think I have enough faith to get saved. Oh, that's all I needed. I said, let me ask you something. I said, the Bible teaches us that it only takes the faith of the size of a grain of a mustard seed. I said, have you seen how big of a mustard seed is? He goes, I haven't. I said, a mustard seed is just about that big. I said, it's very tiny. I said, let me ask you something, young man. I said, do you think you have this much faith that God could save you? He looked back at me. He says, I think I've got that much faith. I said, you know what God says? God says, if you'll take whatever amount of faith you have, you don't have to have my amount of faith. If you'll take whatever faith you have, if you'll take that little bit of faith, even if it's the size of a mustard seed, and place it in Jesus Christ, I said, then he'll save you. I said, do you think you can take that little faith and put that faith in Christ to save you? He says, yeah, I'll try. He bowed his head that afternoon. He put that little bit of faith he had in Jesus Christ. He got saved. He came back to services that night, got baptized. You say, wow, what a miracle. Yeah, but you have to understand, God says, if you have faith. You see, every one of us have. Now, your faith may be about this big, but God says, if you have faith. So we know that everybody under my voice already qualifies for this first thing, because everybody has some amount of faith inside of them. But hold on. But then God says, if you have faith and what? Doubt not. Now here's our problem. You see, God is showing us when there's faith, there's always what? Doubt. You say, well, I'm not supposed to doubt. You're exactly right. You're not supposed to doubt. But is doubt there? Yes or no? Sure it is. You see, there's oftentimes when you're praying, you know, we're pretty good actors. Well, I believe. And inside we're saying, I think. Huh? You know, as preachers, we get up and we talk big. Oh, God's good, God's good. And then we, all of a sudden, we've got to put it out there ourselves. And all of a sudden, now we're scared to death. And you know, because there's always a little bit of doubt. Now, what's God saying? God says this. He says, in all faith, he says, there's going to be some doubt. Now, what God is teaching here is this. God is teaching that you've got to choose to act on the faith and not act on the doubt. You see, if I act on the doubt, then you cancel the faith. If I'll just simply act on the faith, then the faith will cancel that doubt. That's what God's saying. He says, yes, sir, you're going to have doubt inside of you. Yes, when you pray, that doubt is going to be there. But God says, you've got to understand, okay, the doubt's there. But God says, don't act on the doubt. Act on the faith, step out on the faith, and trust that God can come through. That's what you've got to do. You just simply have to trust in the faith that you do have. And God says, if you act upon that faith, God says, I'll cancel the doubt. Won't you act on the faith?
God says, if you have faith and doubt not. Years ago, 22 years ago, when I stepped out in evangelism, I had an evangelist friend of mine. And I went to them and I asked this evangelist. I knew God wanted me in a full-time evangelism. And I asked this man, I said, sir, I said, I know God wants me to go in evangelism, but I said, I don't know when to do it. He says, well, he looked back at me and he says, well, Brother Donnelly, he says, you just got to step out by faith. I said, what do you mean? He says, you got to quit your job, step out by faith, and just go in evangelism. God will take care of you. Now, that's easy to say. But when you're doing it, now all of a sudden you put the leather, you know, put that leather on the road. That's pretty tough. He said, when I went to evangelism, he told me, he said, I just had a handful of meetings. He said, I stepped out by faith. And he says, God's taken care of me ever since. Ladies and gentlemen, I heard that counseling. I went back. I set a date. I said, I'm going to go full-time evangelism on this day. I went to my boss and said, I'm quitting on this day. I quit my job, went into full-time evangelism, and for 22 years now. Now, did I have doubt when I was going to evangelism? You better believe I had doubt. I was not sure. I didn't know how I was going to make it for all these years. I mean, good night. I mean, I don't charge a penny for to come to church. I charge a few $1,000, but not a penny. But no, I mean, the fact is, did you get the letter, by the way? But anyway, but no, but you have to understand, I don't charge a penny. I live by faith. I don't get a salary from a church. I simply come, whatever that church can take up. I've been doing that for 22 years. Now, when I started out, I'll be honest with you, I was a little nervous. I was a little scared. I had 4 meetings on the books, and I stepped out on the faith. Now, there was a doubt side that says, you know what? You got a pretty good job here. You can stay with this job and move up and make some good money. But the other side, God said, now hold on. You got some faith over here. You got to step out in that faith. I stepped out by faith with 4 meetings on my books, and for 22 blessed years, God has taken care of me. Why? I stepped out by faith, and God honored the faith. I didn't let doubt, I didn't step out in the doubt. I stepped out in the faith, and God honored the faith, and all things happened. Why? Because I trusted the faith side. There's a key word to this whole thing. God says, if you have, talk to me now, what? Faith and what? And what? Doubt not. Then he says, in verse 22, he says, and what? All things, whatsoever you should ask in prayer. Here's the key word. What's that next word? Believing. Say it with me. What's that key word? Believing. Now, what is believing? Let me tell you what believing is. Believing is faith in action. Believing is faith in action. Follow me very carefully. God says, if all things are going to happen, first of all, you got to pray. Now, that's half the problems right there. See, God can't answer your prayer if you don't pray. Come on now. Listen, you can run to your preacher's office and say, preacher, I'm God's not blessing me. Well, are you praying? Are you praying? Are you asking God some prayer? I mean, are you specifically, not this stuff, God supply all our needs. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, specifically lay out to God what your need is. Say, God, this is what we need. We've got to have this right here. Now, that's what God's saying. You've got to, he says, you got to pray first. But hold on. God says, okay, we've got to step out in prayer. But he says, but you got to believe as you pray. What's that? That is faith in action. You see, this is taking that faith that I have and say, I'm acting upon
that faith, and the acting on the faith is proving to God that I believe. Let me illustrate. Many of you every week practice this believing side. Illustration. Do you realize when you tithe, you are believing? Yeah. You know, the preacher has the gall to get up and say that you owe 10% of your income to God. Can you believe that, preacher? Bunch of money-grabbing preachers. Now, the preacher doesn't say that. God does. Now, you have to understand. Do you realize every time? Now, you have to understand. Now, some of us, our faith has grown in that area. But still, every time. I don't know if you're like me. I mean, when you don't have a steady check coming in, it's still a little bit tough to be able to take that tithe check and say, boy, I hope next week that church takes care of me, because you're living by faith. And every once in a while, I just have to say, now Domley, stop listening to doubt side over there. Let's listen to faith. And when you put that money in the offering plate, let me ask you one question. God promises to supply all your what? Needs. Now, does God lie? Yes or no? Does God lie? Yes or no? No, God doesn't lie. So if God doesn't lie and God promises to supply my needs and I'm tithing and God promises if I tithe that he'll bless that tithe, that means, ladies and gentlemen, God's going to bless me. Now, but hold on a second now. Have the blessings come when you put that tithe in the offering plate? No, they have not. Not for that offering. The blessings may have come from previous tithes, but not from that one. From that tithe, you're putting that one in the offering plate, and you're saying, God, I believe that as I put this tithe in the offering plate, that you will supply my needs. Now get this now. As I put that tithe in the offering plate, that is an act to God, showing to God that I believe, and God says, okay, I see your faith. Get this now. God says, I see your faith. See, we can have faith, but God wants to see it. And God says the only way you can prove it is by putting that tithe in the offering plate. And God says, when I see your faith, God says, hey, he says, I see that what you're doing is right. You believe me. Then all things start happening. But God's got to see that we are practicing our faith. Illustration. Do you realize when you fast in prayer, you're proving, fasting and prayer is proving to God that you believe he'll answer prayers. Why? Because, listen, I'm not going to fast if I don't believe God's not going to answer my prayer. Why? Because I like to eat. Anybody with me so far? Yeah. I heard about how much you all ate this afternoon. Killed the church. I mean, the budget's gone. But anyway, well, hold on. You know, every time when I go to fast and pray, you know why I fast? Yes, I want to get God's attention, but I come to God and I say, God, I'm trying to prove to you that I believe you can answer prayers. And God, the only way I can prove that I have faith that you'll answer this prayer is I'm willing to fast. I'm willing to go without food to prove to you that I have faith so you can see my faith. And fasting is an act of showing God that I have faith. And when God sees my faith because of fasting, God says, okay, all things now will happen. Why? Because I've asked God. I've shown it to him. He's seen my faith. Now God comes through with all things. Are you with me so far? You see, that's what God wants us to understand. He says you got to believe. For instance, when you go soul winning, you're practicing believing. Huh? Why? You're showing God. God, I believe you can save souls. Let me ask you something. Have you led anybody to Christ before you got? I'm not talking about in the past. You're gonna go. You want to see someone saved, right? Okay. Now let me tell you something. In order to see someone saved, you got to go where the lost are. Listen, we can say, well, we want people saved, but ladies and gentlemen, they're not going to just come running inside this church building. You ever figure that out? You got to go get them. And as you go and get them, what are you doing? You're showing God, God, I believe that you can save souls. And God then comes in, and God, because he saw your faith, how many times, listen, How many times have we gone soul winning? I hear this often. How many times have you gone soul winning? You've led people to Christ. Your visitor, that the person you led to Christ, did not come, but God brought somebody else who no one even talked to because God saw your faith. And God says, I brought somebody to your church because I saw your act of faith that you'd at least go soul winning. Huh? I remember years ago when I worked on a bus route. Good night. You'd work on the bus route. You'd tell these kids you're going to come. And you know how it is. You work in a bus ministry, and sometimes these kids, they never come, and they never come. Every great once in a while, God would just say, you know what? I want to honor your faith. I'd go out there, and I'd go to this house, and no one was there. And as I'm there at that house, this kid next door comes over and says, are you the preacher man? I said, I sure am. He said, can we go to your church? Of course not. I said, sure. He ran back inside. He said, Mama, they said we can go. Out of the house came 8 kids. Boy, I like that stop. That was a good stop. I said, I'm going to do this next week, you know. Now, why? Because I was out soul winning the day before. I saw some people saved. I tried to get my converts to church. My converts did not come. But God saw my act of faith by going soul winning that I believed that God could do something. And God honored it by, he said, okay, I've seen your faith. Now God says, I'll come through and give you somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish you could get what I'm talking about. It's a fact. Yes, there's doubt. Yes, there's faith. But you got to say to doubt, I'm not going to act on doubt. I'm going to act on faith. And the only way to prove to God that I do have that faith, I must have some action. So God sees that faith. When God sees that faith, he says, all things will come.
You say, Brother Domley, how do I get that type of faith that I can act on? You know, are you with me so far? Sometimes, you know, it's hard, isn't it?
Where do I get the wherewithal, the strength, the encouragement
that I can go to that mountain and say, be thou removed? Let me tell you a story. Years ago, I was preaching at a church. And in the middle of the sermon, I don't know where this came from. But you preachers ever say something in the middle of a sermon, and after you're done saying that, you say, that's a pretty good statement. You know, you wonder, where did that come from? Because I certainly didn't think of that. You know, you want to take the credit for it, but you can't because you're not that smart to do it. You know what I'm talking about? And I made a statement in the middle of the sermon. I said, some of you, I made this statement. I said, some of you, you couldn't even pray down a peanut butter sandwich if you needed one. That's what I said. I said, some of you, your prayer life is so anemic that if you needed a peanut butter sandwich, you couldn't even have God to give you a peanut butter sandwich. After the services that night, a lady came up to me. And she said, Brother Domley, you were talking about me. I said, what'd I say? It's scary. She says, you said I couldn't pray down a peanut butter sandwich. I said, I don't know if that was me, if I was talking about you or not. I said, I was just preaching then. Now you're right here. Yeah, I was probably talking about somebody else. But no, but you have to understand. She goes, that's me. She goes, I have so little faith in my prayer life. She goes, I don't even believe that I could pray down a peanut butter sandwich. A couple weeks later, I was preaching up in Alaska. I'd had a long week. My flight back from Alaska was going to take me from Alaska. I was going to fly out at midnight from Alaska, go into Seattle. I had an 8-hour layover in Seattle. And then I was going to go fly from Seattle to Denver, from Denver back home. Well, I don't know about you, but there's nothing you can do for 8 hours in an airport. Nothing. I don't care what club you have. 8 hours in an airport is a long time in an airport. And I had a busy schedule, and I went to God the night before, and I said, before I was flying out, and I said, God, I said, it'd sure be nice if you could get me home a little bit earlier. There were some earlier flights, and I said, God, I really don't want that 8-hour layover in Seattle. I said, God, I said, would you please somehow make sure I can get on that earlier flight? Well, I called up United Airlines. When I called up United Airlines, I told them, I said, I noticed you have some earlier flights.
I said, do you think that you could get me on that earlier flight back in, instead of me waiting 8 hours, can you get me on the earlier flight from Seattle to Denver and the earlier flight from Denver on the way back home? Well, that lady, she started typing over the, I could hear her typing and on the phone, and all of a sudden she came back. She goes, Mr. Domley, she goes, I'm sorry. She goes, there's no way we're going to be able to get you on this flight. She goes, it's oversold. She goes, we're going to have to buy tickets back. She goes, you're going to have to stay on your flight because you can't get on that flight. Well, I hung up. I said, well, thank you. I got off the phone. I got off the phone, and all of a sudden, somebody began to talk to me. And I was the only one in the room. You say, was it audible? No, it wasn't audible. And if it was audible, I'd have been running. I'd still be running. And that voice was the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit said, you know, Mr. Domley, why don't you pray down a peanut butter sandwich? The Holy Spirit said, you know, 2 weeks ago, you said some of you, your prayer life is so anemic that you can't even pray down a peanut butter sandwich. I said to the Holy Spirit, who asked you? You know what I'm talking about. And I said, well, that was preaching. This is real life. I said, Holy Spirit, you heard what that lady said on the phone. I said, there's no way that I can get on that flight. They said it's oversold. And the Holy Spirit said, oh, so you can't pray down a peanut butter sandwich. I said, okay. I called up United Airlines. I told them, I said, I want to get on. I gave them the flight number. I said, put me on standby for these flights. They said again, you won't get on these flights. I said, I don't care. Put me on standby anyway. You know how you tell God. I got on standby. I got to the airport that night in Alaska. I said to the lady at the desk in Alaska, I said to her, I said, ma'am, I said, I'm on standby for the flight, an earlier flight from Seattle to Denver. I said, how does it look for that flight? She got in the computer and she says, well, she goes, I hate to tell you this, Mr. Donald, you're not going to get on that flight. That thing's oversold. She goes, there's just way too many people on that flight. She goes, no way, never. You'll never get on that flight. I said, well, I said, I just wanted to find out. I got on the airplane, started flying down to Seattle. And as I'm flying to Seattle, I started praying. I said, now, God, I said, I'm hoping I can pray down a peanut butter sandwich. I said, now, God, you're the one who laid it on my heart, not me. I didn't ask for this. You're the one. I said, I did want to get home earlier. But I said, now, God, they said it's impossible for me to get on this flight. I said, now, God, somehow, some way, you're going to have to open it up. Whether you cancel a flight, whether you make weather come, I don't care what you do. I don't care about the other people. I only care about me right now. I said, God, I want this thing. I said, I've got to get on this flight. I got to Seattle. I quickly went over to that desk. I got to the desk. There's a gentleman there. He said, may I help you? I said, yes, sir. I said, I'm on standby. Can you give me my ticket? I'm getting brave now. The man looked at me. He says, sir, he says, it's an oversold flight. I said, I don't care. I said, where's my ticket? He says, you're not getting on this flight. I said, no, I'm going to get on this flight. He says, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. He says, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. He says, sir, you don't understand. We're oversold. I said, sir, you don't understand. God told me I want to get on that flight. I thought, what in the world's coming over me? You know, all of a sudden you get your spirituality comes out, and all of a sudden, boy, that was dumb. He said, now, sir, he said, I'm telling you, you're not going to get on this flight. Now, you can stay around in the waiting area, but he said, I'm telling you, it's oversold. You won't get on that flight. 15 minutes before they close the door over the intercom, if there's a Mr. Domley in the gate area, would you please come to the desk? I came to the desk. He said, I don't know how you did this. He said, I don't know who you know. But he says, here's your ticket. I said, I know who I know. It's called God. Well, I got on the plane, and we started flying from Seattle to Denver. I'm on that plane from Seattle to Denver, and I began to pray again. I said, now, God, that's impressive. You gave me the bread, but there's no peanut butter on this bread yet. I said, there's another flight we got to get on. I said, bread without peanut butter is pretty dry. I said, I want that peanut butter. Are you with me so far? Now I said, now God, somehow, some way, you got to get me on that next flight. Well, I got to Denver. When I got to Denver, I rushed over to the next gate, and there's a lady at that gate. And I said to her, I said, ma'am, I'm on standby for this flight. I said, can you give me my ticket? You know, my faith is beginning to get a little bit bolder now. And she says, I'm sorry, sir. She goes, you're not going to get on this flight. I said, ma'am, I said, I am going to get on this flight. She goes, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. And there's nothing, you know, you don't get anywhere when you're arguing with a woman. I'm sorry, I wasn't supposed to say that. But let me rewind that just a little bit. Okay, but anyway. And so you're over here. I told her. I said, ma'am. I said, I've been praying that God's going to put me on this flight. And I said, God is going to put me on this flight. She goes, I don't care, God, whoever. You're not going to get on this flight. She goes, now you can wait in the gate area, but she says, I'm telling you, it's not going to happen. 10 minutes before the doors close, she goes over the intercom. If there's a Mr. Domley in the area, it kind of disgusted. There's a Mr. Domley in the area. Would you please come to the desk? She came to the desk. She goes, I don't know how you did that. She goes, but somehow the seat came open. This is the last seat. Here it is. Buddy, I was ready to shout, praise God, glory to God, hallelujah. Why? God gave me a peanut butter sandwich. You see, how do I get all things? Follow me carefully. The peanut butter sandwich is what we call those small, insignificant prayers. It's the ones that many of you never pray for. But it's the little peanut butter sandwich prayer that gives us the faith to move the mountain type of prayer. You see, when one day I come, and I see a mountain that needs to be moved. I look at that mountain. I say, okay, God says right here, I've got to have faith. God says, I cannot doubt. God says, I must believe. Now, I don't know how I'm going to believe that God can move that mountain. So what I do is I turn around and I look at all the peanut butter sandwiches I prayed down. And when I start seeing all the peanut butter sandwiches have been prayed down, I realize it took more faith to get all of these answered than what it does to get this mountain answered. And the peanut butter sandwich gives me the faith to move that mountain. Are you with me so far? Now let me ask you something. What is your mountain? Come on now. Uncle Sam's not going to take care of you. Bank isn't loaning you the money. Huh? You say, well, I got faith. Yeah, you got a mountain right there. And you say, I just don't see how it's going to happen. Tell you exactly what you do. You come back over here. You look at your peanut butter sandwiches that you had answered. I see all of these. Wow. I do have the faith to get this mountain moved. I firmly believe this. Every one of you this week will start working on getting some peanut butter sandwiches answered. By this time next week, you'll be able to go to your pastor in your church and say, preacher, let me tell you about a peanut butter sandwich I have. Not a real one, a prayer answered. The blondes, really. But anyway. Listen. All I've done my whole life is weekly I prayed down peanut butter sandwiches. Weekly. It's just what we would call the little prayers. And every once in a while I run into a mountain. I say, wow, I don't know if I have the faith for that. I'm like you. That doubt steps in. So when doubt steps in, I turn around. I look at the mountain of peanut butter sandwiches that I've had answered, and I say, God can do it. God can do it. God can move that mountain. Why? The peanut butter sandwich
gave me the faith to move the mountain. There are many of you today, you get busy praying down some peanut butter sandwiches. Let me ask you something. Is your prayer life so anemic that you can't pray down a peanut butter sandwich? You know one good thing about this economy? We're having to go to God now, aren't we? It's not a bad thing. I'm not happy about what's going on in our country. Let me tell you something. We in fundamentalism, we got so reliant on everyone else and on the great economy. We always said money's going to come in, money's going to come in, money's going to come in. And we stopped praying down the peanut butter sandwiches. And trust me, there are preachers out there that have some mountains that have got to get moved. But because they've not been praying down the peanut butter sandwiches, they don't have the faith to move that mountain. Let's get back. Praying down the peanut butter sandwiches. So when we have that mountain, we can stand confidently at that mountain, believing. And we can believe, and when we believe, God says all things will happen. Father, take what we've learned tonight. May we apply it to our lives. God, help us become a people who pray down the peanut butter sandwiches every week of our life. God, please. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.